sin and error pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth.
If I were to tell my testimony in one sentence, that would be it. But I'm going to tell the long version today. Before Jesus, on the one hand, I practically lived in a church building. My parents were involved in every ministry, and I prayed and read the Bible and went to church like 6 times a week and went to church camp and was on student leadership teams in the church and memorized a lot of scripture. And I had many people in my life who raised me in the way of God and prayed for me. But on the inside, I was self-righteous and I never felt like I needed a savior. People always want to talk about how some people had to learn the hard way. I was not some people. I would watch other people make mistakes and I would not make them. I wanted to know where the line was so I could go nowhere near it. I always was a good kid who made good choices and never got in trouble and was always rewarded for it by parents, by Sunday school teachers, by church leaders. And yet I felt hopeless and exhausted. I never felt like I was enough, to the point where I was suicidal most of the time. And I really never let people know me because then they would know my struggles. I think the first suicidal event I had, I was like 7 or 8 years old. So this followed me for a long time. And it was mostly true of me when I was meeting expectations because it was really hard. I judged everyone around me for their mistakes and for not trying hard enough and for not being good enough. I did not have close relationships with people. And then there was the moment that lightning didn't strike. I was a senior in college and I made a choice to commit a sin that I thought would be the end. I was so sure that if I did something bad enough, God would just strike down and end it for me. And so this was not passive, this was planned and intentional, as my whole life tends to be. I reached my breaking point and I moved forward and did something that I thought would end it all. But instead, God met me with grace for the first time in my life. I sat in that space in that moment and I prayed and sat in God's presence all night. And had never, well, I had prayed hours. I had never really talked to God before. And then I wanted to see how far and how wide God's grace would extend. And I spent probably about 3 or 4 years in that time. I did a lot of really dangerous and reckless things. Wondering if God would keep loving me. And then there was a time I was in my late 20s, I think I was 27, and he pulled me into relationship in really 3 specific ways at about the same time. One was that I was planting a church, as all people who don't have a relationship with God do. I was planting a church, and I'm from Washington State, which is largely unchurched. It's not like being in the South. And so there's you know, a large need for churches. There are places that don't have churches. So I was with a group of people, and we openly shared sin struggle as a group, and we lived life in community together. And I had never experienced that before, where you could talk about where your heart really was and what kinds of things you were doing. And also at that time, I was driving a lot back and forth to Chewelah, Washington, which is this podunk little town really close to Canada where my master's classes were held. And my brother-in-law had burned a CD for me to listen to of sermons by Matt Chandler. I had no smartphone, no podcast. I just listened to these same sermons over and over again as I was driving back and forth. And he did this series called Games People Play with God. And it was a message to churched people who don't have a relationship with God. And he talked about what we do to test God. And it was exactly what I was doing. And also, I was working at a school, and the freshman read was a book by Father Greg Boyle. It was called Tattoos on the Heart. And he talked about finding your worth in God and what it meant to find your worth in God. So one night I was on my way home from a church planting event, and it was pouring down rain, and I was crying, and I kept singing, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. And I found worth in Jesus. At that moment, everything changed. My heart, I became extremely vulnerable and transparent, probably ways that you all would describe me, not how I was before. This was after Jesus. I became deeply compassionate and cared about people's hearts. I would never have been described as a compassionate person, and most people who know me closely now would use that as a word to describe me. My behavior changed radically in a moment, but the intention changed too. I was no longer behaving in a way I was supposed to, but I was behaving in a way that God called me to, that drew me closer to him. And through just intense discipleship and connection with Jesus, he's pulled me into a space where I live daily in his kingdom. And that is how God saved my heart.
Amen. Thank you so much, Esther. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us.
Grateful to be in your presence, to be together as brothers and sisters who have been bought by the blood of your Son, God, who have been reconciled to you despite our sin, despite our unrighteousness, despite the fact that oftentimes we don't even recognize those things. And yet in your grace, as Esther articulated, you break through and love us unconditionally and give us worth in Jesus. And so we thank you and praise you for that. God, we pray that as we spend some time talking about your Spirit, that you would use your Spirit to draw us close to you and to change us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to John 16. That's where we're going to start this morning, but we're going to move around quite a bit. So got a lot of ground to cover. So we're continuing this morning our series called Rediscover. And as Dalen articulated last week, there's a reality that we understand for some of us. Some of these things are kind of reviewing and reiterating and rehashing things that we've learned and understood. And for others, it truly is more of a discovery of hearing something maybe for the first time and wrestling with something maybe for the first time. And our goal through the series is to say, what are the foundational elements of our faith, and how do we kind of calibrate ourselves together around those issues? And so hopefully as we're walking through this series, you're tracking with us in your discovery workbook and also in table group, and have come this morning with maybe some insights, some thoughts, some questions about our topic, which is living by the Spirit. And so we started this series and we looked at the question of conversion and what must I do to be saved? And we wrestled with the essence of the gospel. And then Miss Ev came and talked about one of the key implications of the gospel and this reality that in Jesus, our position, our identity is changed. And so she spent a lot of time just walking through the significance of that fact and the importance of understanding who we are as people who are now in Jesus for the first time. And then last week we looked at baptism, and one of the things we talked about is the fact that baptism is an outward expression of an inward reality. So it's a symbol of something that has happened within us, and it's a symbol of several things, but one of those is it symbolizes, it pictures, it articulates for the community around us that we have now been baptized by the Spirit. And so in this practice of baptism, we're physically picturing something that has spiritually happened to us. And so today what we want to do is we want to unpack some of the ramifications of that reality, of what it means to be baptized by the Spirit. So I thought we'd start just by kind of talking about that term. And I want to talk about two different terms. First, I want to talk about the term, the word Spirit, not Holy Spirit, just Spirit. Okay. So when you hear the word Spirit, what kinds of things come to your mind? What do you think of when you hear the word Spirit? Ghosts. Okay. God. Okay. What else?
Breath.
Interesting. Okay. Alcohol, spirits. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. All right. What else? I'm sorry? Otherworldly, like supernatural. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Excellent. Anything else come to your mind when you think about, you hear the word Spirit? Beyond the physical. That's good. Yeah, it's not something you can touch or see or, yeah. Invisible, okay. What were you about to say, Dwayne? Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the purpose or the intention behind something is, okay. Yeah, like the spirit of innovation kind of thing or something like that. Yeah, good. All right. Now let's talk about the term Holy Spirit. How is that different? What are some of the things that come to your mind when you hear the term Holy Spirit? Holy Ghost, okay? Old school, right? The Holy Ghost. Yep. What else?
Divine
Okay, good. Like a guide. Yeah. Okay. A helper. That's a good biblical word for it, right? We're going to look at that. Good. Helper. What else? Counselor. That's what Jesus called him, huh? God. Okay. Anything else? All right. Think, oh, yeah, like particularly you see that like in the Old Testament, right? Lots of times when the Spirit would come upon someone for a task. Yeah, good, power. Fire, like at Pentecost, tongues of fire fell from the Spirit. Presence, good. Really? Scary. Because of the ghost idea, you think, or because of... Okay. It's kind of an interesting word, huh? Slain. Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Probably. He's probably conjuring something. Oh, sorry. Esther said she served with a pastor who kind of just made sure to clarify that in his mind, the Spirit was not some free-wielding hippie.
Yeah.
Which is probably a fair statement. Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. All right, good. So let's talk about this. As you've kind of, wherever you are in this journey, in this process, what are questions that come to your mind when you think about the Holy Spirit? I want to capture these. Alec, can you write these down for me? Sorry. What are some questions that you have when it comes to the Holy Spirit? We may answer some of them today. We may not, but it'll provide good fodder for table group as well. Okay, so yeah, when we say is the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? Is that is it a who? Is it a what? Is it a... an it? Right. So what kind, yeah, what are we talking about exactly? Okay, good. Yeah, so how do I know when I'm hearing the Holy Spirit and when I'm not just hearing what I really want inside or hearing something else, right? Yeah, good. How do I know it's him and not someone else or it or something else? Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. So how does the Holy Spirit fit in the Trinity, and how is he like the Father, and how is he like the Son, and how is he not the Father and not the Son? Great. We're going to talk about some of that. Anthony, yeah.
So,
how
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Anthonika's talking about the fact that she's experienced something that was described as being slain in the Spirit. And what was that? And what is the significance of that? Okay. Good. Yeah, Donovan. Why what?
Why is there even a Holy Spirit as opposed to... Why is there a difference?
Okay. Why is there a difference? Okay, good. What? Why is there a Holy Spirit? And why is there a difference between him and God and Jesus? And good. Good thing is, though.